Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field and wearing our Get Loud Lambeau shirts in advance of the home opener. We've been talking about it all week, Wes. Week three, you never want to say a game in week three is a must win because that's just not accurate. It's not realistic. But this game is pretty important for the Packers, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And considering the fact that the Packers haven't played at home in a month now, I mean, it's almost, we need these shirts to remember what Lambeau Field is. So it's the way the schedule worked out. And certainly now that they begin this gauntlet, you and I have talked about it before, you know, four home games over 5 weeks. And realistically, this is where the Packers need to make hay. And now coming off of a tough loss in Minnesota, I think a game that many people in that locker room felt was winnable and that they should have won. It didn't happen, and now you got to turn it around and try to rebuild some momentum against the Lions.
Yeah, and I think what raises the stakes for this one as far as it being a Week 3 game, as we talked about throughout the week, is that it is against another division opponent. And you're looking at the prospect of being in third place if you lose. The Vikings, they'll either be 3-0 or 2-1 after this week. The Packers obviously want to get to 2-1. If you fall to 1-2, you're looking up at both the Lions and the Vikings, who now would have both beaten you in the first 3 weeks of the season. And not that that's an insurmountable deficit if that were to happen, but you don't want to put yourself in that position.
Well, outside of the wacky 2013 NFC North Division Championship, where the Packers won it with an 8-7-1 record, it usually takes five wins to take the North. And in most years, at least when Mike McCarthy's been head coach.
Yeah, five out of six.
Yeah, so this is going to be really key. Not saying that you couldn't win it with a 4-2 record, but it kind of puts you behind the eight ball to start the season if you can't. And certainly from the Packers' perspective, with this game against the Lions, I know nobody cares about the streak. That's not something the current players were concerned about last year with that 24, 25-year streak of consecutive wins in Wisconsin over Detroit falling. But it does say something about the amount of success they've had here, and at the same time really reflects on the importance of defending your home turf. So yeah, this is a game I think you're going to see the offense especially come out with maybe a little bit more pep in its step. I think the fire's already been there, but if they needed any more motivation, they certainly received it this past week with a lot of their skeptics.
Yeah, there are plenty of skeptics, a lot of questions out there about where this team is headed, where this offense is headed in particular. Can the home cooking, so to speak, do something to help get this thing rolling?
There was a line of thinking, I think it was back in the early 2010s, you know, 2010, 11, that maybe the Packers, with the way that they threw the ball, might be better to be a dome team, to be an indoor team. But I thought in 2013, when they brought in Eddie Lacy and then the direction the run game took behind him and James Starks, that it really set the tempo for the Packers starting to meet those standards that Mike McCarthy was looking for in terms of the balance. And as this schedule goes and tilts, you know, more to the cooler weather, I think it does favor the Packers, and especially now. You deal with the loud noises, you deal with the heat in Jacksonville. The Packers practice in the weather that they're going to be playing in. Now, it might be a little rainy on Sunday. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But these are the conditions the Packers are used to. These are the conditions that they trained in, and this is the field that they play on. So I think that's going to be something, when you talk about home cooking and where this could potentially take them, that could certainly be a positive trying to get a win after that tough loss in Minnesota.
Yeah, I guess that I would also say a minor historical footnote, you might say, with this game. First Packers-Lions game in a long time, really since, I believe, Mike McCarthy's first season, without Calvin Johnson on the other sideline for the Detroit Lions. He's been such a big part of this divisional rivalry for so many years. I did a little research, the Spoff stats and info that you're so fond of. Calvin Johnson played 14 games against the Green Bay Packers, and only twice in those 14 games did he either not score a touchdown or not have at least 80 yards receiving. So 12 out of 14 times, he had a pretty significant impact on the ball game. And I think it's just going to be interesting to seeing the Lions for the first time in a while without him, how they function and how they look.
I think if you're looking at it from just strictly you want the Green Bay Packers to win and that's all you care about, you're happy to see Calvin Johnson go. He certainly makes the job easier. But at the same time, from a purist standpoint, there is a part of me, as a sentimental man, Mike, that is sad that Calvin Johnson, we're not writing the Calvin Johnson story this week. We're not talking to Tremont Williams about shutting him down and what that's going to take. I mean, the rivalry's changed, and the focal points of this offense and defense on both sides of the ball have changed. So it is. It's going to be a different angle to it. As you and I discussed earlier this week, though, it is interesting. It's a much more spread open offense now. They're trying to move up tempo. They're utilizing a lot of different personnel. So that part of it will probably be exciting, but not having Megatron on the field is going to feel a little different for sure.
Yeah, Dom Capers had a good line with the media the other day in talking about the Lions offense. He said they play a space game. And that's something the Packers are going to have to react to. And we'll talk a little bit more about that after the break, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we went to that break talking about the Lions, their offense, the way they spread the ball out, they play a space game. What do you see as the keys to defending this offense for the Packers?
Well, the first thing foremost, they got to keep up the pressure. They had 10 quarterback hits in this pass game. We talked about all the tackles for losses that they've had. They've had a lot of negative plays that the defense has generated so far. You have to maintain that, because even though there is only one defensive turnover in these first two games, if history has told us anything about Dom Capers' defense, is the more pressure you generate, the more opportunities it gives not only those guys to potentially make a big play, but also the secondary behind them to take advantage of some situations there.
The down and distance can dictate those opportunities for the defense, and that's where those negative plays, you set up the second and longs and third and longs, and that's where the defense can turn the game around.
And that's what really stood out to me with what you might have missed series that we do on our website, is that, you know, with the way Mike Daniels is playing and the way that they're getting penetration inside, Kenny Clark stepping up the way he did, they're really solidifying that inside of the defense. And the more I go back and look at that Minnesota game, it's like, you see why this was a game that the Packers really wanted to win, because of how well they played up front.
Yeah.
If you can do that again against Matthew Stafford, he's shown in the past that he can be prone to turnovers, he can be prone to mistakes, and I just think it's only a matter of time. You keep those sacks coming, you keep those quarterback hits coming, eventually he's going to make a mistake.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and we all know the difference that turnovers can make. We saw it on the other side where the Packers had their chances to tie or take the lead against the Vikings last week, and the turnovers in the fourth quarter were the difference in the game. So if the Packers can do that defensively at home, you certainly like their chances. Flipping sides to the offense, we've talked about needing to get the offense going. I think, and I think we've discussed this before as well, the Packers need to take advantage and finish the drives when they get in position. If you get across midfield, make sure you at least get a field goal. If you get in the red zone, find the end zone. If they finish the drives when they have opportunities, I think at the end of the day, the points that they need will be there.
Well, I think, as I mentioned earlier this week, it was such a staggering statistic that stood out to me when you look at the stat packet this week. Detroit right now dead last in the NFL in red zone defense. 5 for 5 their opponents are once they get inside the 20-yard line. So if you're looking for something to kind of maybe bust the Packers out of that little bit of a lull, this seems to be a good defense to do it against. In taking it another level, Mike, no matter who plays in this game for them defensively, there's a lot of guys on the injury report. So if you see, if any of the linebackers step up and fight through injury, if any, you know, Ziggy Ansah, whatever it is, you need to take advantage of that. If they're not on the field, go after the backup.
Yeah,
if they are
absolutely
on the field, make sure you make the most of those chances. Because even if they are there, you know, if Levy's playing, if Ansah's playing, they aren't going to be at 100%. And as weird as it sounds, I'm not saying do anything bad, but I mean, you got to be able to take advantage of those chances.
Yeah, and I think another interesting thing about this Detroit team, when you look at the first 2 weeks, defensively, they've had a lot of problems in the fourth quarter in both games. They gave up a late touchdown against Indianapolis, and then they, to their credit, they still came back offensively and won the game. They gave up 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, blowing a 15-3 lead at home to Tennessee last week. The flip side of it is, Dom Capers talked about this the other day, they are explosive enough on offense that they've hit the 20, 25-yard passes at crunch time to get in position They got in position to win that game against Indianapolis, and in fact, I believe against Tennessee, they converted a 3rd and 19 or right. something like that to get out to midfield, and they're another first down away from kicking a field goal to beat Tennessee, and then Stafford got under pressure and threw an interception. So this offense doesn't rest. The Lions can be explosive at any moment, but at the same time, their defense has shown vulnerabilities in the fourth quarter.
No question. I think it's a really great point. And to go one further with the offense, it's going to be very interesting to see which direction Jim Bob Cooter and Jim Caldwell take the Lions, because now you don't have Ameer Abdullah. He was, even though he wasn't featured 100%, he still was the workhorse back for them. Theo Riddick is more of a scat back. He isn't their traditional between the tackles kind of guy. He runs well when they do get him opportunities, sometimes unique, and he also catches the ball really well. So that's going to be one guy to take, really keep an eye on in this game, because realistically, I'm not really sure who the guy is going to be that's going to be picking up those short yards. If that's going to be, I think, Darrell Washington that they have there now, how exactly they're going to shuffle those out. But Theo Riddick's going to have a big part of this game plan one way or another, and I have to imagine that Matthew Stafford, based on the film last week, is going to be throwing the ball quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree with you on Riddick, too. I think Abdullah's absence, I don't see them turning a whole lot of their offense over to some brand-new player. I see them putting even more responsibility on Riddick, both as a ball carrier right. and a receiver out of the backfield. I think he does play a big part in the game on Sunday, and we've got certainly more to talk about with this Week 3 matchup coming up at Lambeau Field. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, the Green Bay Packers run defense, as we've mentioned throughout the week, through two games, number one in the league against the run. And we heard from Julius Peppers in the locker room yesterday, and Julius is always very calm, level-headed, has that type of demeanor about him. And he basically said, hey, there's no magic formula to what's going on here with the run defense. It's pretty fundamental. It's get penetration in the backfield and then be sure tacklers, and that's what the Packers have done so far.
Yeah, no question, Mike. And this has been something all offseason that Dom Capers and Mike McCarthy preach, this idea of pursuit and finish, going after the ball carrier, and then once somebody arrives there, making sure everybody else is swarming in case someone squirms out. Fortunately for the Packers defense, that really hasn't happened a whole lot so far. The big difference, I think, between where the Packers are at right now and maybe where they were 3 years ago is just the amount of youth that they have in those positions and really the amount of aggressiveness. And something that Peppers said that I thought really stood out was he said it's about penetration. They're getting great penetration on the line. Credit to Mike Daniels and LaTroy Guyon. Even the edge rushers, Nick Perry, Dayton Jones, the guys that
For
are
sure.
rushing to contain at times in those running packages, holding their edge, forcing guys to go up the middle and really collapsing that pocket. So this is something I think is going to be really key for them going forward. Dom Capers, when he went to the podium to talk to the media this week, he said, this is only the beginning. We have a long way to go. But considering the Packers got off to some pretty rough starts with the run defense in recent years, and we're kind of playing from behind off the bat, I think this bodes really well for them and sets them up pretty well. Being able to kind of get out in front of things, especially with as many questions as people had about the defensive line coming into the season.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the point you made about the aggressiveness, that's where I see the difference in the start of the season with this Packers run defense compared to what we've seen in prior years. And part of that is Dom Capers trusting the veteran players up front, Mike Daniels and LaTroy Guyon. If they're going to perhaps give up their gap assignment briefly in order to get penetration in the backfield, they're being trusted that they can do that and still make the play. Now, if they do that, if they give up their gap to get around their guy and the run goes right through their gap, they're going to be held accountable. They're going to be held responsible for that, and you can't have that. But that's partly the difference between having younger guys and veteran players in those upfront positions when you're talking about the gaps at the line of scrimmage. And these veteran defensive linemen for the Packers, they know when they can take their chances, or at least they've shown so far that they know when they can pull the trigger that way.
No question, Mike. And something that really stands out to me, too, nothing against the defensive linemen the Packers had. They had some really good ones when they led the league in 2009, 2010. But this whole transition they've made to having some younger, lighter defensive linemen, I think it's really paid off for them, because you do have guys like Mike Daniels now, for example, who people said was just simply going to be a rotational runner when he came out of Iowa, or rotational rusher when he came out of Iowa in 2004 or 2012. And then he really took that as sort of a chip on his shoulder, like, I can play all three downs. And what it allows them to do, in addition to just having great brute strength and a good point of attack, he's also quick enough that if he does vacate a gap, he's also can get back to it, too, if he needs to. And I think that goes a long way, because in the past, if a defensive lineman took a chance, they didn't always have the lateral quickness to go back and fill if a guy cut back. And that's something I think Daniels and LaTroy Guyon do incredibly well.
Yeah, for sure. The quick feet that they have when they do get in the backfield to be able to react to where that running back is going. But at the same time, those chances they take where maybe they give up their gap and get penetration, it works because of also what you said before, the guys on the edges, Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Dayton Jones, the guys on the edges are setting that edge. The running back isn't able to just bounce it outside and turn the corner. They have to go back to the middle where those interior defensive linemen are. And so far it's worked really well. We're going to see how other teams now that this is on film, this is the NFL. Teams are going to see what you're doing. They're going to scheme against it. They're going to figure out how to trap yourself into what you do and make it fail. That's how this league works. And I'm not sure what the Lions losing their number one running back in a somewhat unexpected fashion, if they'll be able to do that right away this week. But as the season goes on, we're going to see how other teams try to run the ball, because you're not just going to give up running the ball against Green Bay.
Yeah, and some of that you brought up, too, I want to make this point. Nick Perry made a big transition in 2012, going from a 4-3 end at USC to a 3-4 standing up outside linebacker, and there was a transition there for him. But something I felt he did incredibly well from the beginning is setting the edge
That defense. Yep.
And it's one of the reasons why the Packers let Eric Walden go after 2012. They felt comfortable with Perry in that role. Now that he's healthy, now that he's getting the chance to rush on third downs, getting a more complete picture of his game, I think this is going to be a good year for him if he stays on the field.
Yeah, and we've talked about it throughout the offseason that everything was really pointing in Nick Perry's direction, and I'm excited to see what he does as the season goes along. So we'll throw it to one more break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the rest of the NFC North, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment. Let's take a glance around the rest of the NFC North. The big one that other Packers fans will be keeping their eye on, Minnesota, is at Carolina, the defending NFC champions hosting the Vikings. And Minnesota, no Adrian Peterson, no Matt Khalil at left tackle. They'll have a new substitute there. We talked about how Minnesota's offensive line really didn't hold up all that well against Green Bay's defensive line. I think that's where Carolina's going to come after Sam Bradford. I think there's no question about it.
Yeah, that defensive front for Carolina is they're going to be pinning their ears back, I bet, a little bit.
Yeah.
And one thing about Bradford, he made some amazing throws in that Packers game,
question.
But he's still not the most mobile quarterback in the world. So if you can collapse the pocket, as the Packers proved, not only can you get after him, but you also can get a couple hits on him too. So this is going to be key for the Vikings being able to keep him up and keep him healthy, because I think last week showed what this offense can do when it doesn't have Adrian Peterson, when it doesn't have the running game going. It can still be efficient. And getting the ball to Stephon Diggs, I think, is going to be really important for them. And right now, Sam Bradford's the best candidate to do that. But Luke Kuechly and all those guys, and with the Panthers, they're going to be salivating a little bit, I bet, based on not having Khalil there and some legitimate questions on that offensive line.
Yeah, that's a really, really good Carolina defense, and they were a big part, obviously, of that team making it to the Super Bowl last year. And probably, best case scenario for the Packers, if Carolina wins and the Vikings fall to 2-1, the Packers can get back into a tie for first place with a victory there. switching gears to the Chicago Bears, 0-2 out of the gate, certainly not the start that they wanted. They have another primetime game now for the second week in a row. They'll be on Sunday Night Football at Dallas. And the talk in Dallas is the rookie quarterback, Dak Prescott, lost a close one to the Giants in week one, but then pulled out a victory on the road at Washington. Dallas has had the two division games in the NFC East so far. But, boy, the Bears need a win in a pretty bad way.
Yeah, and I think, is it going to be the Brian Hoyer show? It was day-to-day last we heard on Jay
Cutler. Yeah, I haven't heard anything definitive on what they're doing
so
at quarterback
If Cutler can't go, it's Brian Hoyer. And as a lot of people pointed out, this is the reason why they signed him in the offseason. But at the same time, there's a reason why Jay Cutler's the starting quarterback. So that'll be a challenge for them going up against a pretty talented Dallas defense. But as far as Prescott's concerned, I mean, he's impressed me so far, and it's one of those guys that I think, I don't know if it's an entirely huge surprise what he's done. I don't think anyone anticipated him playing as a rookie, considering you have Tony Romo there, and Romo, you know, you thought maybe the luck would turn for him a little bit. But Prescott's, he's good, man, and he has some talent, and he sure showed that in college, and it seems to be translating, and he's able to lead that Cowboys offense. So it's going to be a good challenge, I think, for the Bears, but that's going to be one to watch for sure.
Yeah, well, no interceptions through two games so far for Dak Prescott, and Bears and Cowboys, two teams that the Packers are going to see in a span of 5 days here as this stretch at Lambeau Field wraps up. So with that, we'll wrap up this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for watching, everybody. Enjoy the ball game. We'll see you next time.